Good morning. Bulletins are sponsored in loving memory of Joe Raggio by the Raggio and Sossaman families. Flowers are sponsored in memory of loved ones by Maria and John Kirby and family. Radio broadcast is sponsored in memory of Sheldon Schaefer by the Schaefer family. Following our worship today, we will have a congregational meeting to approve the budget for 2019. Please go downstairs for the fellowship time that we always have, and after we get some food, we'll take a look at the budget. So please come for that time. Offering envelopes are available on this side for 2019, so please pick up offering envelopes. We look forward to Christmas Eve tomorrow. The service is 4 o'clock for the quiet service and 7:30 for the candlelight service. So remember that, 7:30 and 4 o'clock. This is the day which the Lord has made for us. In the name of Jesus, let us greet one another. Good morning. Good morning. Our opening hymn is number 105. Thank you. rejoice, give thanks, call on God's name. Sing aloud, the Holy One comes.
We offer up our anxieties to the Prince of Peace.
Shout your praise, express your joy.
God's love is renewing us in these moments.
Leading us this morning in the candlelight portion of the Advent service is the Welsh family.
Soon we shall celebrate the birth of Jesus. We worship God with joy in our hearts as we are reminded of the words the angels said on that first Christmas day. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which will come to all the people. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 11. I love you just as your Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there is joy, joy that is ours, not only at Christmas, but always. Let us pray. O Holy One, as Christmas draws near, there is a sense of excitement in the air. We can feel a joy in our lives and see it in those around us. Still, for some of us, this is a sad time because unhappy things that have happened in our lives. Help us to have the joy that does not only depend on earthly happiness, but on you. Help us to be filled with your joy so that we may share it with a joyless world. Amen.
Together, let us offer our confession. What shall we do, O God? We can never do enough to deserve your love. We confess that we are not always truthful. We have to face the purity of your love for us. We embrace ugliness and oppression rather than loveliness and grace. Forgive us, we pray. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Psalms tell us that as far as the east is from the west are our transgressions removed by God. In the name of Jesus, sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord.
Oh. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the 103rd Psalm, verses 8 through 11. The Lord is merciful and loving, slow to become angry, and full of constant love. He does not keep on rebuking, he is not angry forever. He does not punish us as we deserve, or repay us according to our sins and wrongs. As high as the sky is above the earth, so great is his love for those who have reverence for him. And the epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now the message that we have heard from his Son and announce is this: God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. If then we say that we have fellowship with him, yet at the same time live in the darkness, we are lying, both in our words and in our actions. But if we live in the light, just as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there is no truth in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoings. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
I invite the children to come forward. Long time ago, Jesus was born. When that Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph were there, and some shepherds came to see him. How do you think they felt when he came? When he was born, you think they were happy? Were they scared? Were they sad? How do you think they felt? Happy. I think they felt happy. They were happy. They were joyous. In fact, the shepherds were a little unsure when they were told that Jesus was going to be born. An angel came to tell them, and they hadn't really seen an angel before coming to talk to him. But he told them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news." And then a whole army of angels started singing for joy. We call it, in the Bible it says, a whole host of angels. Well, that word host means a whole army of angels. But instead of fighting, that army was just singing praises to God. They were so happy and so glorious that Jesus had finally come. So as we gather today and we think about Christmas, like Mary and Joseph and everybody who was there,
we're happy that Jesus came for us. Our God, we thank you today that you came for us in a simple way like a child. You make us happy because you came into the world, and we know that you're happy because we're here and you created us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. A Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat. In that town was a woman who lived a sinful life. She heard that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house. So she brought an alabaster jar full of perfume and stood behind Jesus by his feet, crying and wetting his feet with her tears. Then she dried his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured the perfume on them. When the Pharisee saw this, he said to himself, "If this man really were a prophet, he would know who this woman is who is touching him. He would know what kind of a sinful life she lives." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Yes, teacher," he said, "tell me." So there were two men who owed money to a moneylender. Jesus began. One owed him 500 silver coins, the other owed 50. Neither of them could pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. "Which one of them will love him more?" "I suppose," answered Simon, "that it would be the one who was forgiven more." "You're right," said Jesus. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "You see this woman? I came to your home and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with kisses, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came. You provided no oil for my head, but she has covered my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love that she has shown proves that her many sins have been forgiven. But whoever has been forgiven little shows only a little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The others sitting at the table began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." God's blessing be upon his holy word. Again, good morning. Christmas isn't far now. Tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll gather for Christmas Eve service at 4 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. You know, one of the things that we do as we gather at Christmas and we think about this time is think about Jesus coming as a child. Jesus came as a child. Now, many of us try to put away childish ways. We adults want don't want to waste our time playing when there's work to do sometimes, and we want to be serious. But there's a different perspective that children have. Once the parents were bringing children to Jesus for them to be blessed, and Jesus' disciples decided to get rid of them, to shoo them away. But Jesus said, no, bring them up here. I want them. I want to see those children. And then he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Now, that's a big statement. We can't enter the kingdom of God unless we receive it like a child. Jesus wants us to go back to our childhood for some valuable lessons of faith. A little child shall lead them. One way that children are different is in the way in which they're willing to receive. I think about my own childhood, and I remember the times when I would go to the restaurants, especially when the restaurants were over, and my grandmother and my dad would have that debate as to who was going to pay for the meal. I knew that that meal must really have been over there then, and my grandmother and dad would argue a little bit about it. Now, in those moments when they argued about it, where I realized finally that this was their pattern of the thing that they did, do you think I ever spoke up and said, wait a minute, I'm going to pay for it this time? No, I didn't. And the idea probably didn't enter my mind. I was willing to receive. I was grateful. I didn't say, I'll pay for it. I was more likely to say, well, if one of you are paying for it, that does mean I can get dessert now. And if it did come to a question of dessert, I knew that Grandma was a lot more likely to say yes than the dad was. Children can receive the gift. They know how to receive. They know that it's okay getting something for free and something that they never have to pay for or pay back. They understand that some things in life are free. You can get a free lunch and a free meal, especially if you're young and you're there with family. Today we talk about something that comes for free. Now, in the church, with that big churchy language, we call it grace. A little child would say it this way, my God forgives me. Grace is all about forgiveness. God forgives me. God forgives you. And he gives even when we feel like we don't deserve it. That's called grace. It's a central idea of the Christian faith. We all love grace, which is important to us because it tells us when we mess up, we're forgiven. We can get on with our lives and have a do-over, if you like. When you mess up and maybe that messing up cost you a job, you would really want grace and forgiveness, wouldn't you? You want to be forgiven. When you get that F on the test, you want grace. When you say hurtful things and you're sorry, we want grace. We want forgiveness. We want to be able to get over it. Sometimes we mess up and we're hungry for forgiveness. The forgiveness of God is central to our faith, but it's sometimes misunderstood. A Sunday school teacher was talking in Sunday school on her lesson about grace and forgiveness. She said to the class, "Can anyone tell me what you must do before you can obtain forgiveness?" There was a short pause, and then from the back of the room, a small boy spoke up, "You have to sin." Okay. Now, most preachers are not going to tell you that you have to sin in order to experience forgiveness. Because we don't want to encourage one another to sin, but that simple child got it right. If you do sin, then you do get forgiveness. I don't recommend the sinning, but I know we all do. And if we do, and if we confess it, forgiveness is on its way. The second step, you see, of obtaining forgiveness is that we feel bad about it. When we know that we mess up, it's like a cloud of shame and guilt that can cover us or overshadow us. Got that F on a test? My best friend is mad at me and won't speak to me? Well, the second step is that we know that we do feel bad about some of the things that we've done. We wish that we hadn't. We feel sorry for them. We regret them. We wish that we could do them over or have another chance. We think that a part of attaining forgiveness is also bargaining. You know, you say, okay, God, I may have sinned, so I'll read the Bible for 15 minutes a day, and maybe that's the only way that you'll forgive me. But you know what? Bargaining isn't a part of God's grace. God's grace is free. It's a free lunch. You don't think that it exists anymore sometimes, but it really does. You don't have to bargain for it. You don't have to tell God what you're going to do. It's free. A free gift, get out of jail free card. Here are some of the Bible verses that we're familiar with that encourage us to really believe that God is about forgiveness. 1 John 1:8 says, "If you say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the real next step after feeling bad and feeling guilty and wishing that things weren't the way that they seem to be is to confess the sin. To say, okay, I've blown it. Yes, I deserve punishment. I have messed up. Yes, I do need forgiveness. And then God forgives us. Psalms 103 says this about forgiveness. "So great is God's steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us." It's like God takes our sins and hurls it away into outer space or as far as God's capable of tossing it. And you can believe that God can throw something far. God separates us from that huge thing that we had been burdened by. God forgives and God forgets your sins. He doesn't know what you're talking about if you say, "I sinned," and you bring it up again. God loves you just the way you are and sees the sin no more. When I was in high school, sometimes I had to write papers. And now, when I wrote papers in high school, that was a long time ago, and I used a typewriter. Some folks aren't familiar with typewriters, but I used them. And when you wrote on that typewriter and you messed something up, I couldn't get rid of that part that I misspelled. But they did have this stuff called whiteout. You could, like, brush it on the paper, you know, and you wash it out. And then you can type over it again. But here's the thing about that whiteout. If you picked it up and you held it up to the light, there was still something on that paper.
It wasn't gone forever. And some of us has the sense and some of us have the feeling that maybe that's really the way it is with God, you know? We make our confessions and we tell him about it and he wipes it out. And we're not really sure if it's gone. But the truth of the gospel, the truth of the good news is it is really, really gone forever. It exists no more. So if God says it's gone, we should probably believe it. He forgives us. He forgives us of our sins and wipes them away for all of history. It is gone forever. God loves you just the way you are, as though you were newly born. In fact, you are newly born. Every time we make that confession and every time we experience that forgiveness. Like the child that was born on Christmas who was pure and innocent and was just a marvel. God looks upon you as his child. Isn't that a miracle? Isn't that a wonder of Christmas? God forgives. And I also think that children are able to understand that God forgives. They're able to understand the forgiveness stuff. I mean, little kids can get mad at their friends, and before you know it, they're good friends again, and they're playing and having a great time. And I also think that little kids understand this about Santa Claus. He might know if you're naughty, and he might know that you're nice, but kids know you're still probably going to get something anyway. They understand forgiveness, and they understand grace. And I'm not sure where that naughty and nice thing came from, because after all, Santa Claus was a saint. He's Saint Nicholas. He understood grace, and he understood forgiveness. A free gift, one and all. There's a story about a woman in the book of Luke we read about who knew that my God forgives me. She was a sinful woman. Somehow she knew about Jesus, how he gives mercy and grace and forgiveness. One day we're told that Jesus was visiting Simon, a Pharisee, and she goes to Jesus. Jesus is there with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees think that they got it all figured out, that they're better than others, and that they have to work real hard in order to obtain God's forgiveness. Here is a sinful woman who comes into Jesus' presence, kneels at his feet, cries on them, dries his feet with her hair, and then anoints the feet with perfume and oil. And Simon the Pharisee says, this is breaking all the rules, Jesus. If Jesus was a prophet, he would know the woman that is touching him is a sinner. And Jesus knew that she was, but she is no more. When we read the story, sometimes we assume that this woman at Jesus' feet was there because she needed forgiveness, because she was begging for forgiveness. Yes, she had done bad things, and we wonder, was she trying to make up for all that she had done? But that's not what the story is about. Jesus sees that she is at her feet, and she is at her feet because she knows somehow she is already forgiven. She knows what Jesus is capable of. She knows who Jesus is, and she is simply overwhelmed. What an amazing love. What a lovely thing that she does. And what amazing love it is that Jesus gives. When you truly know God and that God loves you just as you are, you do amazing things, and it feels amazing. It feels wonderful. That woman came to the house to see Jesus. She thought God was amazing enough to love her in a great way.
she showed her love and she showed her devotion to Jesus in a way that tried to match what it was that God had already done for her. It changed how she looked at life. The Pharisees, well, they thought that the goal in life was to be good and to be holy. They took a great pride in being good and holy and told it to everybody else. They wanted to look holy in the eyes of other people, to think that they were important. But this woman had a different way of looking at life. She knew deep down just how much it was that God loved her. So she had to express that love in a way that put away all fears and all expectations of her. She didn't care what anybody thought. She expressed her love for Jesus. It's a love that Jesus offers. It's love from God that shows us the depths of God's forgiveness for each of us, shows us how much He loves us. When you deep down understand it, that love just comes pouring out from you, just as it did for this woman. Being forgiven means the past is completely gone. You are free from it. Free to be a new person, free to love. When you know God loves you just as you are, you think that it's too good to be true, but at the same time, you know that it really is. And you know that it's wonderful, and you know that it's good news. And all you want to do is to love God because of it and to be free to love others as deeply as God has loved you. So my homework for us this week is to receive the gift. If someone gives you a gift, don't say, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Don't do that for me. Just receive it and be grateful. Don't feel guilty. If you don't give them anything in return, it's grace. It's a free gift. Live under grace. You are loved just as you are. No one needed to do anything in order to receive it or accept it. A little child knows how to receive. A child knows, my God forgives me. Forgiveness is who we are as Christians. We are the people who live under grace, under God's forgiveness, embraced by God's forgiveness. So my encouragement for you this day is to experience that forgiveness once again in fullness. Go before Jesus and marvel that He came into the world a pure and innocent child to be our Savior, and see how it reminds us that we too are God's children, God's pure and holy innocent child. When you know that God loves you, you just want to give it away. So I encourage you also this season and this time and in this week to give that love away to somebody else. And if you know somebody who is deeply in need of forgiveness, well, forgive them too. Wouldn't life be better if all of us just live within the crazy love that God gives? Live in that presence and give thanks to God. It's an amazing grace. Amen.
Thank you.
join me in the statement of faith found in the beginning of the bulletin? We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the world into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through the prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us to his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servant in the service of men, proclaim the gospel in all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in a trial and rejoicing, eternal life in his kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. Holy, loving God, we come before you today so grateful for your love and grateful for this season. We're grateful for your forgiveness. We ask, O God, that you would empower each of us to be more forgiving in our own lives, that by our generosity towards one another, people may see you shining through. Our Lord, if the need for forgiveness runs really deep, just remind us that you have the power to do all things and anything, and we can call upon you to set us free. My God, we ask for the day when all your people everywhere will live more fully for you. We pray for the day when those who are hungry are fed, those who need drink have clean running water. We ask, O Lord, that by our living and by our faithfulness, we might leave this world a better place than when we arrived, because we have been faithful for you and lived out our unique calling. Our God, we know that you came in Jesus to let us know that you would share this life in all of its ways. You would carry our burdens and share them with us. We lift up to you those who are upon our prayer list, asking for your touch and presence within. We pray for Amanda Dunkelberger, Larry Bauer, Joanne Williams, Flossie Fegley, Rebecca Quinn, Ricky Fatanovic, Richard Card, Roxanne Farrell, Thomas Sherry, Abby Coccio, Jean Berry, Matthew Coccio, Carol Scott, Nancy Isley, Alma Herring, Glenn Rarick, Harry Ault, John Quinn, Julie Hill, Deborah Sheetram, David Kipe Jr. and David Kipe Sr., Mabel and Norman Sheetram, Mary Schaefer, Kathy Tomchick. We praise you, O God, and we pray to you in the name of Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. We've already been given, and we've already received more than we ever expected and more than we ever imagined. At this time in our service, we once again take up our offering, thankful for who our God is and how much he has done for us. We share what he has entrusted with us, with others.
Thank you.